This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. Election Day is just a few weeks away, and I hope each of you has it circled on your calendar, or maybe you've gotten your mail-in ballot already. This is the day when we, as Americans, have a clear say in what we want for the future of our country. But it's amazing to me how many folks ignore this privilege and skip going to the polls. Let that not be said of rural America. There's too much riding on the election outcome. In 2016, farmers and ranchers made their voices heard, and in 2018, we'll get out the rural vote once again. While the urban economy and job market is seeing tremendous growth, rural America is still waiting for that boom to come our way. The midterm elections have a real impact on the issues facing America's farmers and ranchers and our rural communities. I hope you'll join me in getting out there to hashtag VoteForAg this November and consider taking the Farm Bureau Advocacy Voting Pledge and inviting your friends and neighbors to do the same. The Farm Bureau Advocacy Team has also assembled helpful voter resources to empower grassroots members to make their voices heard. You can go to www.fb.org/vote for a link to register, to see polling locations, and to find information on early voting. Let's be ready to make informed decisions for our community and nation. Many of our state farm bureaus have already been leading the charge in getting out the farm and ranch vote. The I Farm, I Vote campaign has been energizing rural voters since Tennessee Farm Bureau kicked it off back in 2014. I love how this slogan has caught on because it gets to the heart of why our vote matters. Too often, politicians play a numbers game and overlook the rural vote. They choose instead to spend their time and resources in urban areas, saying that our vote is too small to make a difference. But that rural vote has shifted the course of elections. We know what is at stake for our farms and livelihoods, and we know that every vote counts. Elections aren't decided by the people who stay home, and farmers aren't ones to sit on the sidelines when something needs to get done. Let's get out the farm vote this November and ensure that the issues facing agriculture remain a top priority for our elected leaders. See you at the polls. AFBF is recommending the IRS change a proposed amendment to the tax code because it threatens the viability of key programs that work to preserve farmland and open space. The proposed changes under Section 170 of the tax code would reduce the federal charitable deduction for a donated conservation easement by the amount of the state tax credit. Protecting and conserving farmland, pasture, ranchland, and woodlots is a priority for American farmers and ranchers. One way to do so is to permanently separate the right to develop property from the remaining property rights by entering into a conservation easement agreement with a third party such as a conservation organization, Farm Bureau explained in comments to the agency. The United States is now 111 months past the last recession, the second longest growth period for the U.S. economy. But Agricultural Prospects President Bob Young explained in Tuesday's Newsline that whenever all the indicators are pointing in one direction, it is probably time to at least start thinking about what might happen next. Young said at this stage in the game, the economy ticking along reasonably well, we've got very low unemployment numbers, inflation not really that much of a factor even yet, and some wage growth numbers also to talk about. The concern is that the previous record for economic growth was 120 months. Now we're sitting at 111 months. According to Young, an economic slowdown doesn't seem likely within the next few months, but could be a topic of concern within the next year. In July, the administration authorized up to $12 billion to fund several programs designed to assist farmers and ranchers impacted by the retaliatory tariffs imposed by some of our largest agricultural trading partners, like China, Mexico, and Canada. These programs include a direct payment market facilitation program, a trade mitigation food purchase and distribution program, and a trade promotion program. Recently, the administration announced the details, including, most importantly, the initial payment rates for the market facilitation program. For field crops, the Market Facilitation Program payment rates paid on 50% of 2018 production were announced at $1.65 per bushel for soybeans, 6 cents per pound for cotton, 86 cents per bushel for sorghum, 14 cents per bushel of wheat, and 1 cent per bushel for corn. Initial Market Facilitation Program payments are expected to be at $3.6 billion for soybeans, $277 million for cotton, $157 million for grain sorghum, $119 million for wheat, and $96,000 for corn. Using the initial payment rate on 50% of production along with the 2018-19 marketing year average price from USDA's September World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, the Market Facilitation Program payments as a percent of the crop price are highest for sorghum, soybeans, and cotton, followed by wheat and corn. Farm Bureau people have traditionally identified themselves as the grassroots voice of agriculture in their respective communities. This role was clearly apparent in September when a group of animal science researchers and production managers from Afghanistan visited with the Florida Farm Bureau Federation staff members. The foreign guests requested the meeting to discuss ways in which they might develop an advocacy organization that supports farm enterprise in their home country. They wanted to learn more about how Florida Farm Bureau serves its members and maintains a substantial presence in the midst of a heavily urbanized state. The monthly cold storage report released by the Agriculture Department's National Agricultural Statistics Service shows the end-of-the-month volume of commodities in freezer storage throughout the U.S. As an important market-moving report, it covers most commodities that require cold transport, ranging from nuts to fruits and vegetables to dairy and meat. This report offers insight into how commodity stocks are piling up in storage and adds another piece of information to help us glean how much of these products are moving through the supply chain versus ending up in freezers. Frozen vegetables make up the largest share of the most recent cold storage report, followed by dairy, fruit, and poultry. Total commodities kept in cold storage increased 1% from a year ago and 4% over last month's report. Mississippi farmer Mike McCormick on Wednesday shared with Congress several examples of how private landowners partner effectively with state agencies to recover and conserve wildlife. McCormick, a cow, calf, and timber farmer and president of the Mississippi Farm Bureau, spoke to the Senate Committee on Environment and Public Works on behalf of AFBF. McCormick said one of several great examples of state and local communities coming together to address an issue is the Mississippi Honeybee Stewardship Program, an effort launched jointly by the Mississippi Farm Bureau and the state's Department of Agriculture and Commerce to protect managed pollinators. Mississippi State University Extension Service and other Mississippi organizations developed communication, cooperative standards, and habitat restoration that guide the relationship between farmers and beekeepers in Mississippi. McCormick said this process was such a success that it was adopted by several other states and is included in the President's Pollinator Partnership Action Plan. Much of the success can be attributed to the fact that the Environmental Protection Agency supported the effort but allowed local partnerships to develop and implement the plans. McCormick also praised a joint effort between the U.S. Agriculture Department's Natural Resources Conservation Service and landowners in 9 southern states and Texas to restore or protect hundreds of thousands of longleaf pine forest. Persistently low commodity prices have many searching for an understanding of what farm bill tools are available for farmers to mitigate the impacts of bearish prices on their financial bottom line. 2 farm bill commodity assistance programs, agricultural risk coverage and price loss coverage, are designed to make payments to producers when national marketing year average crop prices or crop revenue falls below certain thresholds. Last week, the Agriculture Department's Farm Service Agency released its ARC CO payment rates for the 2017-18 marketing year. The current list includes several row crops, but not all. Crops addressed in this release include barley, canola, corn, grain sorghum, peanuts, soybeans, wheat, and others. ARC CO is a county-based program with payment rates determined by a statutory formula for each county. A program payment under ARC CO is made when actual crop revenue, defined as the product of the county yield and marketing year average price, falls below 86% of the benchmark revenue, defined as the product of the 5-year Olympic moving average county yield and 5-year OMA crop price. Per acre payments are capped at 10% of the benchmark revenue guarantee. ARC-CO helps growers manage revenue risk by making program payments based on average crop revenue, thereby protecting against both price and yield declines. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.